Last week, we learned in all of our groups and in our big group, but the grown-ups in church on Sunday, we heard some challenging words from Jesus. I don't know if you can remember them. I'm going to read them out. They're in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. It says this: Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Whew. They were challenging words. I think they were challenging in every group that we looked at them. We need to say no to ourselves and give everything to Jesus. We're at the time of our service now where we've come to confess our sin before God. And I thought it'd be quite helpful just to reflect on our lives this last week. So take in your mind, just by yourselves, or you, if you're small, you can do that with your grown-ups. Just think quietly for a second, how have you done at saying no to yourself and giving everything you have to Jesus, letting him just rule your life, him be in charge, him be the thing you love the most, him be the person you really want to think about and follow, rather than do what you want to do? How's that gone? It's a big challenge, isn't it? The good news about Christian life, and this is why we always have confession in every service, because it's such a joy, is that we don't have to hide that we've failed with Jesus. Even though he calls us to a high calling, you never have to hide that you struggle and you fail. And if you confess that to him, and are honest, that means if you're honest with him about it, he always forgives you and gives you strength and help. It says this in John, in 1 John, it says, if anyone sins, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth isn't in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from our dirtiness, our unrighteousness. So let's take a moment and let's confess our sins together.
Luke chapter 9, verses 28 to 32. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem.
I mentioned, didn't I, last week, that we learned some challenging words. And the question for us really is, did we listen? So when I was younger, I was at home, and there was something that my mum taught me. Loads. She kept on banging on about something time and time again. Children, you may have had this experience already in your life. You may have been so lucky that your mum or your dad or whoever looks after you has come up to you and said, you need to learn how to do your washing. Has anyone ever been taught that, children? Has anyone grown? Yeah. It's difficult, isn't it? When I was younger, my mum repeatedly, for between the ages of 13 and to 18, before I left home, said, you need to learn to do your washing. And every time she said it and explained what I needed to do and even maybe forced me to put some things in a machine and press it on, I gave the impression that I was listening. But when I left home, when I did my first proper wash all by myself, everything went in. The jeans, the t-shirts, my nice white socks, my nice black hoodie, everything went on, and I just put the door down and I looked at the controls and just thought, well, what would be better? I'm a scientist. I'm doing science at university. I know hotter will be better. So I pressed the button for the hottest wash, turned it on. It was quite a long one. Okay, went away, came back an hour or two later, And to my horror, found that things had gone wrong. I had some socks. Here we go. They went in like this, nice and white. Came out like this, nice and grey. I even had one jumper. This is a bit pronounced. Went in quite nice and large. Came out a lot smaller. Useless. Useless to me. And here's the thing. When my mum told me all those things, she definitely told me proper instructions for how to do my washing. Separate whites from darks. Don't put them on a hot wash if they're mixed. And I didn't do either of those. It wasn't a disaster, obviously. But, you know, if I'd have listened. The thing is, every time she said it to me, I nodded. And she thought I was listening. And I was. A minute later, I could have regurgitated what she'd said. But I didn't really listen. I didn't really take it in. It didn't go deep down and affect my behaviour. Listening properly matters, doesn't it? Now, can you have a little moment in your little groups around you? Choose whoever you like, but don't leave people out. Choose whoever you like to talk to. And I want you to just have a think. Have you had a time when you didn't listen properly? And what happened when you did? Would anyone like to volunteer an example? Would anyone like to be so brave as to tell us how when Ella was painting the nails on the sofa, and we said repeatedly, don't paint your nails on the sofa, and then we went away and Ella painted her nails on the sofa. Dark red nail varnish, grey sofa, and you couldn't remove the covers, could you? Yeah. But it's all right, because we're following Jesus, and we always forgive. So it's fine. Anyone else? Burn the carpet. With the hairdryer. I thought with the towel. I was like, what's wrong with that? My parents, that's a bit harsh. What did you do? With the hair, and you burn the carpet. No way. Listening's good, isn't it? Listening to instructions is good, says every parent that ever existed. Brilliant. Listening matters, doesn't it? It helps us, it saves us in times of trouble. It avoids unnecessary mess. Sometimes it can be quite serious to listen as well, can't it? If there's an awful snowstorm outside, and there's a red weather warning, it says, don't go out unless you absolutely have to. It's really important to listen, isn't it? Because it is really dangerous to go outside. Or a doctor that says, you must take this medicine. It's really important to listen. But the reality is, a lot of the time, the reason we don't listen is not because we haven't heard. There's something that goes on in our hearts. We think the thing we're being told is a bit dull and not that important. The stuff that people have told us that we have to listen to isn't that exciting. It doesn't grab us, doesn't it? And I don't know if you thought about this last week when you were in your Pathfinders group, or when you were in your Sunday Seekers group, or you were in the sermon here listening to people talk about, is it really important to listen and follow Jesus and give everything to him? Did you think, oh, okay, that's really important, but it doesn't quite grab my heart. It doesn't quite get me. I don't really want to have to do it, but I will if I have to. Jesus, I think, knew that as well. And so a week later, it says in the Bible, 8 days, he does something really cool with some of his disciples to show why listening to him is really worth it. Why it's really, really worth it. He goes up on a mountain and something happens to him. I've got two mountains here, made with packing box material. Plenty of that if anyone wants any. I've got two mountains here. And a long time ago, I need to explain to you the importance of what happens at mountains in the Bible, very, 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 very quickly. This is a mountain in the Old Testament called Mount Sinai. Woo. Sinai, you want to see? Here it is. Much bigger than this. And in the Old Testament, God had rescued his people from slavery by sending plagues on the land of Egypt to change the Pharaoh's mind, which didn't work. So he sent the Passover and rescued his people through the Red Sea into the desert, where there was this big mountain where he met his people so they could worship him. But here's the thing. When that happened, when God came, and God came down onto the top of the mountain. But here's the thing. All of the people, do you see them? So well drawn at the bottom. All those people, and there were more than this. They couldn't go up the mountain. Only one person could, Moses. And all of the people had to stay all the way at the bottom. And on the mountain, there was thunder. Flashes of lightning. Flash, flash, flash. Very bright. And a cloud came down. And it was like, it was described a bit like a loud trumpet blast. It was so loud when this happened. And all of the people, when God came down and all of this stuff was happening, they were not allowed to go up because God is so holy. He's so pure. And the people weren't. And if they'd gone near, it would have gone really badly for them. They can't go into his presence. That was the mountain, Mount Sinai. That needs to be in our minds right now when we hear about Jesus going up on another mountain. We don't know what it's called, so I'm going to call it Jesus Mountain. And it probably wasn't as big, but still far, 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 well, far more important. So Jesus goes up onto the mountain. And he takes his followers with him. So we've got Peter. They all look the same, I know. They all look the same. Peter, James, and John with him. And Jesus is on the top of this mountain. But look in your Bibles. Now's the time to look in your Bibles at the passage we were looking at, which I'm sure you've not closed. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he went up on a mountain, and he was going to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. What is that all about? What? That's why we need, this is why we need the picture. I don't know if you've ever seen lightning flash really near you. I was once driving in the dark with my dad. It was raining heavily. We could hear thunder. Thunder had been going off and there were flashes far away. And all of a sudden, in the field next to our car, lightning just went boosh down. And the whole of the sky lit up in a flash. And it was terrifying. But once it had happened, the flash, you know, flash was, it was a flash. Went flash and then off again, and it was dark again. It says that Jesus' faith and his clothes were as bright as lightning. Whoa. Not a flash, permanently bright. In other Gospels, they say it's, he became whiter than white. How do you be whiter than white? Unless you're using dazz, maybe. It was so bright that it was otherworldly. But the thing is, this wasn't like in the Old Testament. This wasn't this amazing stuff coming down on the mountain. It was coming out of Jesus. And then Moses and Elijah are nearby, and these are the people who saw, went up into God's presence and were affected. They're talking to him like he's their kind of superior. All the signs are pointing to this, made this Jesus showing us who Jesus really is, that he's God in all his glory, and he's standing there. And they talked about his departure, which in the original language is Exodus, which is another way of saying all of the things that happened to God's people to rescue them, to get them to that mountain. Jesus is saying, I'm going to do an even bigger, saying, I'm going to do an even bigger rescue. Not against just to rescue people from slavery, but to rescue them from sin and even from death. And I'm going to bring them into my presence, which is brighter than a flash of lightning. Wow. How great is our God? How great is Jesus that he would do that? How amazing is he and how glorious is he? We're in the next bit of Luke's Gospel.
Luke chapter 9, from verses 32. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him. When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at that time what they had seen.
Okay. In our groups, choose the same group. If you didn't like the last one, switch it. Question for you. There's only three answers, so not overcomplicate things. The question is, how good are you at falling asleep? Answers are, you can explain it if you like. One is incredible. Second is, yeah. Third is not really at all. How good are you at falling asleep? Have a little chat. Shall we, let's have a hands up. So it was, the first one was like incredible, the second one was like meh, third one was like not good at all. So how good are you at falling asleep? Hands up, people said incredible. Whoa! That's more than I thought. Hands up, people says like meh in the middle. Hands up, people said not at all. Yeah, real mix. Some people find it easy, some people find it meh. Some people really struggle with it, and that can be for all sorts of reasons. The trend, generally, I believe in our country, is that more people are finding it a bit harder, and there's lots of reasons for that, the way our technology works, pressure, etc. But it's good to know that there are there's a real mix amongst us. My wife is really good at falling asleep, to the point that it's very hard to watch anything after a certain amount of time at night, and by that I mean 8 o'clock in the evening. And I'll often talk to her in the evening. We're about to go to bed, and I think I'm having a conversation with her. I start my part of the conversation, and she's lying next to me. She's gone. So, you know, if you need to talk to somebody important with Anne, make sure you do it before 8 o'clock. Just worth knowing. But the point is, sleep. There are some times in life when, like, you would think never to go asleep because it's so exciting. You don't want to miss it. One of those times, I would suggest, would be when Jesus is brighter than lightning on this mountain, in this other, showing what he's really like in his true glory, and he's right in front of you. That would be a time to be amazed. Have you had a look at what was going on? Peter and his companions were very sleepy. With all of this is happening, the Son of God is like radiant before them, and they're kind of asleep. They're struggling to pray. They're not engaged. They're drifting off. This is not the last time they'll struggle to pray when they're with Jesus. And they're asleep. Now, the thing is, with that, that's not great in terms of if you understand the Bible story. Because remember, in the original, the old mountain, there were all these people who couldn't go near, and they had to, even to go this close, they had to prepare. They had to abstain from certain things, and the fancy word is consecrate themselves, do certain things to make them kind of holy and ready. And Moses had to do the same so that he could go up. And if any of them did anything they shouldn't do, then the whole group of them would be denied access to God's presence. And that happened repeatedly over the Old Testament story. When people turned away from God, they got into real trouble. So it's not actually great that the disciples are having a little snooze when Jesus kind of reveals all his glory. But here's the thing that's really, really, really lovely and wonderful, and I would love to just let it grab your heart this morning. They wake up, and Peter's a bit flummoxed, and he says, maybe we should make some shelters, one for you, one for Moses. And that's, I think, it's not a completely foolish thing, because this idea of shelters, when God's people were in the wilderness, they lived in tents and shelters, and it was kind of a way of remembering God in those days. People did it. It's not crazy. But before he's really finished what he's saying, God does something really cool. In the original mountain, remember I said that, I don't know why I'm using a tea towel, but I am. Remember I said that when God came down and his presence came on the mountain, a cloud came down. I should have used cotton wool, shouldn't I? That's what we always use, clouds in craft. The cloud came down and covered the mountain. And at that point was the moment when God's presence, his holy, wonderful presence was on the mountain, and everyone trembled when that happened. That was the moment God came down. Look what happens in your passage. Just as he's speaking, just waking up, kind of flummoxed, like, Jesus, maybe we should make some shelters or crumbs. All these people, we find that the cloud comes down. And unlike the people who couldn't go near the cloud, this cloud, the sign of God's presence, appears and covers Peter, James, and John. And they were afraid because they all knew what it meant, but nothing happened to them. All that happened was that God said from the cloud, this is my son, whom I've chosen. Listen to him. And then the cloud disappeared, and Jesus was just standing there like normal in front of them. Do you see what was happening there? Do you see it? Peter was asleep. He wasn't even that interested. Something that should mean that he's distant from God, not being that interested in him, being not bothered. Oh, can't we bother with Jesus? Oh, got to pray again. Oh. But Jesus cares, and God cares so much for Peter and the people he's called to follow him, that that isn't an issue anymore. Because of what Jesus is going to do, this big exodus, when he brings people, delivers them from their sins, brings them back to life. And so, Jesus can send God's presence to overshadow them, even when they're sinful people. And he can welcome them in. That's why God says to Peter, listen to him. Not just because it's the right thing to do, but it's because Jesus is so full of this glory that he wants to share it with his people, and is even willing to share it with people who are sleepy and slumberly and a bit off spiritually and don't quite understand things. And if you're anything like me, you might be saying now, yeah, that's me. That's the story of my life. I find it hard. It's difficult. I mess up sometimes. I'm asleep, spiritually sleepy sometimes. I'd just be encouraged then that doesn't disqualify you. In fact, Jesus came for you, and he wants to share his glory with you. And he does that by dying and rising again and giving us his Spirit, so that when we listen to him, it's like the famous line, like our hearts burn within us. God speaks to us and is with us and reveals his glory to us in our hearts, so that even when we're opening the Bible and trying to figure out what he's saying, Jesus is speaking and revealing his glory to us. He's helping us. He's with us. He's letting us follow him. So the question for us to ask is, when are we doing that? When are we going, let me understand you, Jesus. Let me get to know you, Jesus. Let me open the Bible. Let me experience you, Jesus. When are we opening our Bibles and going, God is speaking to me and helping me understand who he is and showing me his glory? We started by saying it's really good to listen to people who give us instructions. But we are kind of acknowledged that sometimes we don't listen because it doesn't really grab us. Jesus is aware of that too. And I think he gives this image to his disciples and to us who read about it, because he wants to grab us. He wants us to see that there is nothing more glorious and amazing than Jesus. And so he wants our hearts to be amazed by him, so that we'll follow him and listen to him and know him and enjoy him and delight in him and have the best time with him and be blessed by him. Shall I pray that we do that in our families, as individuals, in our own quiet times, when we meet as small groups, when we have fellowship together, that we be blessed by Jesus and be delight in him. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Jesus and this amazing picture of what he's really like. Thank you that he allowed Peter, James and John to experience it even though they were sleepy. He even overshadowed them with this cloud of his presence. Thank you that you do that for us too. You come into our hearts by the Spirit and help us to delight in you. Excite our hearts, we pray, all of us, whether we're young or old, with Jesus. And would he be the very best thing for us? And would we love following him? We pray that in his name. Amen.